Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are undertaking quite a significant analysis. We're looking at a philosophy that, well, the sources we have claim it could actually redefine global governance.
That's right.
We're plunging into something called Awakened Leadership, or AL for short. Mm-hmm. And the scope here is, well, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Our sources aren't positioning this as some, you know, fringe theory. They describe it as a living philosophy. And it's intended for wholesale adoption. We're talking nations, institutions, major organizations, the fundamental systems underpinning everything.
Yeah, it's a staggering claim, really. And you can feel the urgency behind it in the source material, can't you?
Definitely.
We're looking at what they present as a systemic diagnosis of, well, global failure. The argument is, look, we have more data, more connectivity, more strategic models than ever before in history.
Right, unprecedented amount.
Exactly. And yet the global infrastructure seems to be fracturing. They point to some really specific, quite painful failures.
Such as?
Well, governments drifting away from their own people, losing that connection, nations kind of forgetting their role in the bigger picture in humanity's future, institutions. This is a big one. Trading trust, which is their most valuable asset, really.
Yeah.
Trading it for speed, for fleeting influence. You see it everywhere.
And technology just racing ahead with no real conscience,
yeah.
No guiding intent.
That's precisely another point they make. And this idea of sovereignty, you know, not national sovereignty, it's being twisted. Instead of sustainable diplomatic alignment, it becomes this nation-first isolationism.
Okay, so let's dig into that core issue then. We see these global structures, and they seem to be constantly struggling with misalignment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The source material seems to pinpoint this breakdown in how we even think about sovereignty. It's less about responsible global positioning and more about immediate self-interest, like building walls instead of bridges.
Exactly. You've hit it. The core rot, according to these sources, is the absence of something specific. Clarity. Yes. Clarity, they argue, has been systematically pushed out, replaced by layers and layers of self-interest, short-term political cycles, reactive decision-making. Just noise, really.
And that systemic misalignment, that's what Awakened Leadership is designed to address. This is the philosophy pioneered by Sandeep Mehra, you mentioned.
Precisely. It's presented not just as an idea, but as a structural solution to this broken governance, to the manipulative way authority is often used across global systems.
Okay. Now, before we dive deeper, there's something we absolutely have to address, isn't there? The name itself. Awakening.
Yes. The elephant in the room.
It immediately brings up, you know, spiritual or religious connotations for many people.
And that clarification is absolutely vital. It's critical for understanding the scope and the function of this philosophy as presented. The sources couldn't be more definitive on this point.
Which is?
Awakening leadership is not a spiritual practice. It's not a spiritual category. It's not religious. Full stop. It's intentionally positioned as standing beyond those categories.
So do they define it then?
It's defined as a universal, innate, practical, actionable, and fundamentally scientific philosophy. Think of it as an operational model for systems. We're talking about practical intelligence here, not faith.
Okay, practical intelligence. Yeah. Universal, innate, actionable. Got it. So our mission today in this deep dive is really to analyze this structure, its principles, and this tangible model they propose for global systems adoption purely through that lens. Pragmatic intelligence.
That sets the parameters perfectly. Let's explore this foundational intelligence, its principles, and how it's supposed to fix these highly fractured systems.
Great. Where do we start? The definition itself.
Let's start there. So awakened leadership is defined quite simply as leadership aligned with awakening.
Okay. But again, we need that operational definition of awakening in this context, the non-spiritual one.
Right. In this framework, awakening means maintaining an undistracted presence with what is real in this moment.
Undistracted presence.
Yes. It means the system, or the leader making the decision within that system, is free from, let's say, the heavy residue of past failures, you know, the baggage, and also free from the corrosive panic that's often driven by anxiety about the future.
So the decision flows purely from clear, immediate perception of what is, not what was or what might be.
Exactly, based on the reality of the now.
Okay, I can grasp that concept for an individual leader, maybe, as a psychological state.
Right.
But how does an institution, a whole nation state, these are massive, often slow-moving bureaucratic machines, how does something like a parliament or, you know, a really tense diplomatic negotiation achieve or maintain undistracted presence?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great in theory, but isn't speed sometimes essential? Isn't reaction sometimes necessary in a crisis? How does that work practically?
That's the core challenge, isn't it? And it's really where this philosophy differentiates itself. The claim is, when an institution, a system, embodies this presence, the entire dynamic of authority fundamentally shift. Right. Authority, which so often acts as a mask, right, used to command or sometimes to hide incompetence,
sure,
it transforms into pure responsibility. Decisions then flow not from political convenience or reactive pressure or lobbying, but from that inherent clarity. The sources explain that this is the point where power stops being a tool for self-interest and returns entirely to the service of the greater alignment, the system's true purpose.
And the sources are really insistent that this isn't just like an aspirational goal or a nice theory. They explicitly label AL as living human intelligence.
Yes, not borrowed intellect.
Right, not something you just read in a textbook and apply like a formula. It has to be embodied by the system or the leader. I'm trying to wrap my head around what they mean functionally by living human intelligence.
It means the intelligence is inherently dynamic. It's responsive to the living, breathing system itself, rather than being rigidly fixed by old precedents or inflexible structures.
Riff.
Think about conventional policymaking. It's often borrowed, right? Copied from other places, or based on intellectual frameworks that might be decades out of date.
Yeah, we see that all the time.
Living human intelligence, in contrast, is more like, well, codified intuition applies systemically. It's about removing the institutional filters, the biases, the historical baggage that traditionally skew perception.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's say a conventional policy dictates we must maximize short-term yield at all costs. Living intelligence embedded in the system might override that. It might sense the long-term systemic risk or the hidden environmental costs and demand a completely different action, even if all the old metrics are screaming for short-term gain.
So it adapts in real time based on deeper principles.
Exactly. The sources say it literally dissolves into rhythm the moment it's embodied. It's not something you follow like a set of rules. You flow with it. It becomes the natural expression of the system's clarity.
That idea of flow suggests it's universal, doesn't it? If this intelligence is truly dynamic, it should be able to bridge some pretty significant gaps we see in our global systems.
Absolutely. And that's positioned as one of its core functions. The philosophy acts as a vital connection point, a necessary bridge in this highly fractured global reality we're discussing.
Bridging what, specifically?
Things like loss and possibility. So, acknowledging collapse or failure while simultaneously seeing and creating new pathways forward, it links the inner clarity of the leadership, that undistracted presence, with the outer action.
The tangible results.
Yes, what they specifically term materialism into action. This is crucial. It's the integration point where that clear idea, that inner vision, becomes tangible, responsible structure in the real world. Governance, policy, innovation.
Okay, so it connects the inner and outer, humanity and nations. Collapse and creation.
Exactly. It sits at that nexus point.
And the result, as described in the sources, seems to be leadership that resolves these deep contradictions that often paralyze global action. You know, leadership that can be dynamic without being chaotic or erratic.
Principled without being rigid.
Right. And compassionate without being weak or ineffective. It provides that quiet inner core, that stability, that allows a nation or a global organization to act truthfully, authentically, even when under intense pressure or scrutiny.
That rooted stability, that's the intelligence. And that's precisely what fractured systems lack right now, which brings us back to the urgency.
This is why the sources insist the need for awakened leadership is so pressing now. Because the massive global challenges we face, climate change, AI ethics, deep political polarization, they aren't just technical problems, are they?
No, the argument is they are fundamentally challenges of systemic alignment. They can't be fixed by just tweaking a policy here or applying another technological patch there.
It really brings us back to that central paradox you mentioned earlier. We have more data, more sophisticated strategies, endless predictive models. Yet the sources warn that all leaders, all systems, falter the moment that core clarity is absent. It's a pretty strong line in there. No system, whether a startup or a superpower, can endure without an awakened center.
And if you connect that to the sheer speed of global affairs today,
yeah.
In the absence of that awakened center, that clarity speed actually subtracts wisdom. We're moving too fast, reacting too quickly for the necessary reflection.
Can you elaborate on that? Speed subtracting wisdom.
Well, think about the legislative process in many countries. You see a complex 10-year problem emerge, and suddenly there's immense pressure to write reactive legislation in, say, 2 weeks.
Driven by media cycles or political pressure.
Exactly. And what happens? Often you get immediate, cascading, unintended consequences down the line, precisely because that necessary reflection, that systemic clarity, was skipped. Speed won out over wisdom.
And the cost of this lack of clarity, this reactive mode, is visible everywhere, isn't it? You see global diplomacy unraveling incredibly quickly, treaties becoming unstable almost overnight.
Governance flipping erratically. One policy direction this year, a completely opposite one the next, based on shifting political moods or, frankly, the influence of private interests. It makes long-term, trustworthy policy almost impossible to build.
Yeah. Stability goes out the window.
And technology, particularly AI development, is maybe the starkest example of this lack of conscience. The source material really highlights that AI is advancing without the necessary awakened ethics or regulation built in from the start.
It's playing catch-up at best.
Right. Businesses prioritize short-term, quarterly output, often leading to this slow or sometimes rapid erosion of foundational trust. Systemic meaning gets lost. These aren't just isolated incidents. The sources argue they're all symptoms of a leadership structure globally that has lost its grounded seat of decision.
Okay, so how does awakened leadership practically restore that seat? Especially when global crises hit and they demand immediate action. If the first step is slowing down to see the truth, doesn't that potentially expose the system to even higher risks in the short term?
That's a fair question, but it depends on how you define speed and risk. AL doesn't advocate for, you know, perpetual analysis paralysis. It reorders the priority of action.
Yeah.
It operates counterintuitively. It might force a critical meeting or a national decision process to deliberately slow down, but only until the actual truth of the situation is visible, until clarity is achieved.
Yeah.
And then, once that absolute clarity is established, the system can move. And the claim is it moves with a precision, a confidence, and an effectiveness that is actually faster and more durable than any conventional reactive template could ever achieve.
So the initial slowdown isn't really a delay in that sense.
It's not a delay. It's the fundamental investment in stable, non-reactive, truly intelligent decision making. It prevents the costly mistakes born from panic or confusion.
So that ability to pause, achieve clear perception, maybe even hold paradox and contradiction without just collapsing into noise or picking a side prematurely, that provides the stable reference point in a world that's changing, you know, minute by minute.
Exactly. It means the system isn't just layering another methodology or another policy onto the existing noise. It represents, as the sources put it, the radical re-entry of clarity into the very core of leadership itself.
And the warning is stark. Without that foundational clarity, global systems will simply continue to fracture or even collapse under their own weight, their own complexity and speed.
That's the diagnosis and the proposed solution.
Okay, let's shift gears then. We've talked about the why, the urgent need for AL. Let's get into the how, the actual implementation framework. If this is an embodied philosophy meant to guide entire nations, entire systems, what are the core principles? The sources mentioned four universal anchors.
Yes, four universal anchors. And they're described not as mechanical steps, like a checklist, but more as living signals. They are the guides for leading in an awakened way, applicable across any organization, any nation.
Living signals, okay? What's the first one?
The first is inner vision.
Inner vision.
Think of it as the internal compass. It's the systemic sense of purpose, the core direction that arises from within the institution or the nation itself. Crucially, it's unborrowed. It doesn't come from chasing the latest trends or from consultant reports or seeking external applause or validation.
So for a nation, this would be its uncorrupted sense of purpose, its true north.
Exactly. And its function is absolutely critical. It provides the non-negotiable ability to discern what is genuinely aligned with long-term human needs and the planet's health versus what is merely an illusion of progress, maybe a short-term gain that causes long-term harm.
And then to act on that discernment.
Yes, to act decisively from that clarity, even when facing massive internal or external pressure to compromise, to deviate, or even to engage in corruption.
Wow. Okay. So it's like the structural moral integrity,
yeah,
but established and maintained internally within the system itself.
That's a massive ask for any government or large organization today, constantly bombarded by competing interests. It is a huge ask. And that leads directly into the second anchor, which is essential for navigating those pressures. Heart center alignment.
Heart center alignment. What does that mean in a systemic context?
If inner vision is the compass, heart center alignment is the stable axis upon which the system turns. True governance, sustainable leadership, needs the central point to navigate extremes, to mediate contradictions, and maintain the system's core identity and values amidst constant change.
So it helps manage those tensions, like the classic tension between immediate economic demand.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And long-term environmental sustainability.
Precisely. This alignment acts as the internal mediator. It ensures the system holds on to its roots, its core values, while still steering robustly and adaptively towards the future. It's about the system having the capacity to mirror objective truth without political bias skewing the reflection. It ensures action flows from that state of genuine systemic presence rather than just reacting to external pressure campaigns or lobbying efforts.
I can see how that directly tackles the problem we discussed earlier. Governance flipping erratically based on political moods or private interests.
Yeah.
If the alignment is internal and central, the system gains intrinsic stability. Okay, that makes sense. The third anchor is life's essence. That sounds a bit more abstract.
It sounds abstract, but its implications are intensely practical. Life itself, existence, renews every single instant, right?
Okay.
Leadership or governance that fails to recognize this fundamental dynamism, leadership stuck in rigid bureaucratic precedent, clinging to outdated models simply because that's how it's always been done, that leadership becomes instantly irrelevant. It becomes a fossil.
So life's essence is about recognizing and embodying that constant renewal.
Exactly. It's the recognition that the system itself must be creative, dynamic, and responsive to the living moment. Not just the past, not just anxieties about the future, but the reality unfolding right now. It ensures the structure remains fluid, adaptable to rapid change, whether it's technological, social, environmental, without losing its fundamental ground or identity.
And if you ignore life's essence,
you get exactly what we often see. Entrenched, slow-moving bureaucracy that ends up serving itself, its own procedures, rather than the people or the purpose it was created for. It becomes disconnected from the life it's supposed to serve.
Right. That resonates. Okay, and the fourth anchor, materialism into action. This sounds like where the rubber meets the road. You mentioned it earlier. How do we ensure all this, this inner clarity, this alignment, this dynamism, actually translates into tangible policy, into verifiable global governance structures? How does it become real?
This is perhaps the most, well, scientific and actionable aspect of the framework, the proof point, as you say. Awakening, clarity, inner vision, they remain conceptual, maybe even just nice ideas until they are applied to matter, until they change how things are built, how resources are allocated, how decisions are made in the physical world.
So materialism into action is that translation process.
It is the definitive, structured movement of clarity into tangible reality. Into a nation's constitution, its legal framework, its policy decisions, its innovation strategy. strategies, its societal systems, its budgets.
How is that enforced? Is there a mechanism?
Yes. The source material mentions a specific decision framework tied to the philosophy's charter and constitution. This framework acts as the mechanism. It essentially demands that every major policy initiative, every significant resource allocation, must pass an objective alignment check. Does this action align with the core principles? Does it serve the inner vision? Does it embody heart center alignment?
So it's a filter.
It's a rigorous filter. It ensures that clarity doesn't just remain an intention, but becomes an unavoidable financial, operational, and structural reality. It's how inner vision becomes physical structure.
Which means, basically, you can't just say you're aligned anymore. Your budget, your staffing choices, your organizational chart, your actual policies, they all have to physically demonstrate that alignment. This is where the philosophy really has to prove itself in practice.
Exactly. It has to manifest. These four anchors working together provide this rooted, yet potentially quite disruptive, framework for operational global leadership. A framework that demands integrity isn't just a slogan, but is built into the very code, the very structure of the system.
Okay, this is fascinating. Moving from the framework itself to its practical application, we need to stress again, AL is positioned as a practical model for governance, for institutions, not just, you know, individual ethics or leadership styles.
Absolutely systemic.
So let's detail how this philosophy is claimed to tangibly transform these global systems.
Right.
Let's start with governance itself, national or even global governance.
Okay. The sources make a pretty extraordinary claim here that policies designed under the principles of awakened leadership are intended to genuinely outlast politics.
Outlast politics? How is that even possible given the nature of political cycles?
Well, the logic is, if decisions are fundamentally based on objective truth and systemic alignment derived through those four anchors we discussed, rather than on temporary political wins, power games, or hidden party agendas,
then the foundation is more stable.
Much more stable. The resulting policies have inherent integrity and long-term viability that isn't dependent on who's in power next year. The claim is this naturally leads to nations regaining public trust because their actions start to consistently align with a deeper, immutable clarity, not just shifting self-interest.
That structural stability would be revolutionary. Okay, what about global diplomacy? We constantly see crises erupting from the zero-sum thinking, right? Where one side has to win and the other has to lose. How does AL approach that?
It aims to shift the entire goal of diplomatic dialogue away from the corrosive objective of domination or manipulation,
which often leads to temporary fixes at best.
Right. Towards the goal of genuine, lasting resolution. Under AL, peace isn't pursued reactively, like a bargaining chip after a conflict, or as some kind of temporary performance metric for the cameras. It's pursued proactively as a fundamental human right and a structural necessity for all participants involved.
So that changes everything. How negotiations are prepared, what outcomes are considered acceptable.
Completely. It demands looking at long-term systemic impacts, mandating true win-win outcomes, or at least mutually respectful resolutions, as the baseline for success, not the exception.
Okay. And what about the machinery of big institutions? Bureaucracy often gets a bad rap, becoming defensive, resistant to change, sometimes even a shield for incompetence or manipulation.
Yeah, the institutional inertia problem. Under AL, the expectation shifts. Institutions and their internal systems are designed to naturally carry responsibility alongside efficiency. Efficiency isn't enough. It must serve the larger purpose.
So the structures themselves have to serve alignment.
Yes. Bureaucracy is essentially forced to stop hiding behind rigid, outdated procedures or internal politics. Instead, it begins to actively serve the system's higher awakened purpose. The structures must genuinely facilitate the clear objective they were created for, rather than just focusing on self-perpetuation or control.
Makes sense. Now, technology and AI. We touched on this innovation racing ahead without conscience. How does AL propose to regulate that speed and power responsibly?
The core principle here is that regulation and ethics in technology must arise from genuine, codified human intelligence, meaning that deep aligned clarity, not just knee-jerk reactions to the latest tech scandal or crisis.
So proactive, not reactive.
Exactly. The sources stress that innovation must serve clarity and humanity first before serving speed, market share, or unchecked power. This means building the principles of awakened ethics, transparency, accountability, alignment with human well-being into the foundational level, into algorithm design, data governance, deployment strategies. They have to be non-negotiable from the start.
That's a huge challenge given the current landscape. Okay, what about societies themselves, where fragmentation, polarization seem almost endemic these days? How does applying this clarity help foster collective direction?
The idea is that collective direction emerges more organically when people feel genuinely seen and valued by the systems that govern them. Seen not just as voters to be wooed, or consumers to be targeted, or data points to be mined.
But as actual participants in a shared destiny.
Yes, full participants. The sources suggest that division and polarization naturally soften when objective truth, rather than political manipulation, emotional rhetoric, or misinformation, becomes the guiding principle in the public square and in the policies designed to serve society. Trust builds from the ground up.
A significant claim. And finally, what about organizations and business? The engine of so much global economic activity.
For businesses operating under AL principles, integrity can no longer be just aspirational. You know, a statement in the annual report or the corporate handbook.
It has to be operational.
Operational, baked into the core processes. Profit must align genuinely with purpose. Growth must be intrinsically linked to maintaining and expanding stakeholder trust, including employees, customers, communities, and the environment.
So an awakened business model sees trust and purpose not as optional extras or PR exercises,
but as non-negotiable drivers of long-term sustainable value. It requires moving decisively past the often extractive, short-term focused models that dominate much of the current global economy.
It sounds as all these transformations in governance, diplomacy, institutions, tech, society, business, they aren't separate things, are they? They're interconnected.
Deeply interconnected. And this is reflected in the ecosystem that Sundeep Mehra has apparently pioneered to implement this philosophy globally.
Right. The sources list very specific channels. Awakened political governance, awakened global governance, awakened AI governance, awakened diplomacy, many others. It really underscores that the intention is to address the entire planetary system, isn't it? Not just tinker with one isolated sector.
Precisely. It's systemic through and through. The sources use a powerful analogy here that describe these interconnected channels, these domains, as forming the spacecraft carrying humanity into the future.
A spacecraft?
Yes. They aren't isolated compartments. They are interlinked fields of one single living system. For example, you can't have effective national governance in the 21st century without awakened technology governance. Global diplomacy can't achieve lasting peace without awakened leadership guiding the negotiators. The structural integrity of the whole vessel, its governance, its tech, its institutions, its leadership, is maintained only when all the parts are operating from and flowing with the same foundational clarity.
Okay, that analogy really brings it together. Now let's focus on the structure that's meant to sustain and propagate this whole effort, the Awakened Leadership Movement. The documents describe this in quite unique terms as a soul-born initiative and a global conscious movement.
Yes, and critically, we need to reiterate its rather unique operational design. This seems intended to maintain its core philosophical independence, its sovereignty, if you will.
How so?
The source material is very explicit. The movement is not structured as a registered NGO or a traditional trust or a foundation.
Why not? That's usually how global initiatives are set up.
The stated reason is to ensure the movement remains rooted purely in its inner clarity, sustained directly by its founder, Sundeep Mehra. It seems designed to avoid the external constraints, dependencies, and potential mission drift that can sometimes come with governmental funding, large donor influence, or the bureaucratic requirements of standard organizational structures.
So the structure itself is meant to embody the principle of unborrowed inner vision, preventing the clarity from being diluted or corrupted by external pressures or organizational self-interest.
That appears to be the core intention behind that specific structural choice. Independence preserves clarity.
But crucially, despite being independent in that way, this isn't just an abstract idea floating around. It's presented as a fully formed systemic model ready for implementation, right?
Absolutely. That's perhaps the most important takeaway for anyone considering this seriously. This isn't just philosophy. It's a comprehensive, practical model. The structural components are tangible and designed for immediate systemic adoption by nations or large institutions.
What are those components?
The movement includes a fully articulated charter, which outlines the foundational principles. There's a manifesto, laying out the vision and call to action. There's a foundational constitution providing the governing framework, a detailed decision framework, which we discussed as the mechanism for ensuring alignment in practice. There's a comprehensive model for implementation, and of course, the underlying philosophy itself.
So it's a complete package. Charter, manifesto, constitution, decision framework, model, philosophy. It provides the necessary intellectual, ethical, and structural toolkit for any nation, any major institution, to actually integrate AL functionally.
That's how it's presented, yes.
Yeah.
Ready to adopt system.
Which brings us to the ultimate goal of the movement. It's essentially an invitation, isn't it?
Yes, an explicit open invitation to nations, to major organizations, to existing global systems, to governments, really to everyone involved in leadership at any significant scale. The invitation is to adopt this philosophy.
As championed as...
as the most practical and living philosophy and model available today, specifically because of its claimed ability to restore truth, clarity, and the capacity for genuine structural evolution to how the world leads itself, how it governs itself.
So it's a direct call to action to join this global movement.
Yes, it's framed as a call to join this global conscious movement aimed at awakening leadership across the world. System by system.
Okay. This has been incredibly detailed on the systemic level, but let's bring it down to earth for a moment. For the individual leader, or maybe a team, or even a small institution listening right now, if they recognize that their current systems, their way of operating, is suffering from that misalignment, that lack of clarity we've discussed, what are the immediate, practical, maybe transformative steps they can take today, even without adopting the whole formal structure yet? How can they begin to embody AL?
That's a great question, because the philosophy stresses practicality. The steps are actually quite simple in concept, but potentially radical in their effect on habits. The process of awakening clarity within a system, even a small one, begins with intentional shifts, deliberate slowing down sometimes, an internal commitment to non-reaction.
Okay, like what's the first step?
The first, and perhaps most fundamental, is to simply pause before acting.
Pause.
Just pause. That moment of stillness, the sources explain, isn't wasted time. It's the crucial investment that allows clarity to surface. Imagine, say, a national security team on the verge of making a really volatile, reactive decision based on incomplete information, or a major corporation about to sign a disastrous long-term contract under pressure. That mandatory conscious pause allows the system's own inner vision, its deeper intelligence, to speak before external volatility or panic dictates the action.
It's the difference between acting impulsively and acting with real precision.
Exactly, which leads to the second step. Act from alignment, not from unrest. Meaning, recognize that decisions born from turbulence, whether it's personal frustration, collective fear, political agitation within the group, that turbulence will only multiply itself outward across the entire system. Acting from alignment requires the system or the decision-making group within it to consciously listen inward, to connect with that systemic truth, that inner compass, however faint it might seem initially, and let that guide the action, not the noise.
Okay, pause. Act from alignment. What's third?
Thirdly, hold paradox. We live in an increasingly complex world, right? Leaders and systems are constantly pressured to collapse complex realities into simplistic binaries, to choose profit over purpose, or speed over stability, or this faction over that faction.
Yeah, the pressure for easy answers is immense.
AL requires the system, the leadership, to develop the capacity to stand courageously at the center, at the point where truth often lives, which is usually in the tension between opposites, to mediate contradictions consciously without collapsing into the noise of duality or resorting to false compromises.
That requires significant inner stability. And fourth, related to the first step, you said.
Yes, it builds on the pause. Slow down to see. It's about deliberately delaying the reaction until perception is truly clear. Only then, the philosophy suggests, can action be executed with the kind of precision required for today's complex global challenges. This practice also allows the system to flow more naturally with change, accepting that every moment brings new information, new context, ensuring decisions evolve with life's living rhythm rather than being stuck in the past.
So, pause, act from alignment, whole paradox, slow down to see. These aren't just techniques, are they? They sound like fundamental shifts in systemic habits, systemic culture.
They are exactly that, deep shifts. And underpinning all of them, there's one final essential question. A question that any leader, any nation, any organization can ask itself in any moment of confusion, crisis, or simple decision making.
Which is?
What is the most truthful action available right now?
The most truthful action?
Yes. That question, asked honestly and listened to deeply, has the power to cut through layers of complexity, politics, and fear instantly. It points directly towards aligned action.
Wow, okay. This deep dive has certainly revealed an intelligence model of philosophy that demands a radical refocus, a shift away from just managing complexity towards cultivating foundational clarity within our global systems. It really challenges our basic assumptions about what power really is, what speed truly means in leadership.
Indeed. Awakened Leadership, as pioneered and presented by Sandeep Mehra, is positioned as much more than just another leadership philosophy. It's presented as, potentially, the living future of leadership itself, and maybe even of humanity's collective governance. It's described as an intelligence that needs to be embodied, a clarity that needs to be remembered and reactivated within our systems, and a practical structural system of alignment designed to breathe life across nations, institutions, organizations, and societies.
Providing that vital bridge we discussed between the current state of potential collapse or fragmentation and the possibility of conscious creation, between the inner vision of what's needed and the material external world where it needs to happen. It's championed quite boldly as the leadership blueprint humanity has perhaps been searching for, but maybe never fully named or structurally codified in this way.
Until now.
Yeah.
Defined as universal, innate, dynamically alive, and critically available for systemic adoption. The conclusion drawn in the sources is clear. The future, if it's to be sustainable and aligned, will be led by this kind of awakening, this clarity, not by mere performance, not by political strategy alone, not by unchecked power or speed for its own sake.
And in that process of adopting clarity, the hope is that leadership, and indeed humanity itself, can find its rightful, rooted, and properly aligned shape to navigate the immense complexities of the 21st century and beyond.
That's the potential offered.
So for you, listening to this deep dive, we want to leave you with a final, perhaps provocative thought to mull over. If the future of humanity truly hinges on being led by awakening and systemic alignment, as these sources propose, what specific institution in your world, maybe it's a local governing body, maybe a multinational corporation you interact with, perhaps a major international diplomatic entity, what specific system needs to first find its inner vision and its heart center alignment for true, lasting, global systemic change to finally begin to occur?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.